You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
U.S. Army Private Bradley Manning was arrested in 2010 for passing hundreds of thousands of diplomatic cables and Army reports to WikiLeaks, as well as war video footage from Iraq and Afghanistan. Manning is now facing a court-martial and a civil trial. But unlike most trials, transcripts are not being released. Concerned about the lack of openness to court documents, Freedom of the Press Foundation is raising funds to hire a court stenographer to create a public transcript. Trevor Timm is executive director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. We've reached him in San Francisco. Welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio and the Red Eye program, Trevor.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
First, could you give us a little update on the charges against Bradley Manning?
Sure. So Bradley Manning's already pleaded guilty to 10 charges and will face 20 years in jail no matter what happens. So what this trial is the more serious charges that the government refuses to drop. So this includes charges under the Espionage Act and what they call aiding the enemy, which is a capital charge that carries the death penalty. The prosecutors say that they're only seeking life in prison. But these charges have huge effects on press freedom and whistleblowers' rights. You know, whether you believe what Bradley Manning did was right or not, the aiding the enemy charge basically states that if anybody indirectly gives information to media organizations, posted on the internet and the enemy can read, then they're essentially aiding the enemy the same way if they were handed directly to them. So it's quite scary.
And what effects do you think that would have on whistleblowers, especially in the military, reporting illegal acts of the military?
Well, it would have a few effects. One, it would really affect the way the press reports on military issues, and two, it would affect military personnel's First Amendment rights. So, you know, basically, this charge is so broad that it means that not only if anything's classified and is passed along to a journalist, it could potentially be considered aiding the enemy, but basically any information at all that could be potentially useful. So blog posts or Twitter posts or Facebook posts from soldiers, which actually the Army encourages them to make, could potentially be aiding the enemy if they contain the background of a base, for example, or if a Facebook post is somewhat critical of the military, then it could be considered the same thing. Just to give you an idea about how this could affect press freedom, Bob Woodward, probably one of the most famous journalists in America. He brought down Richard Nixon and Watergate. He publishes books all the time with top secret classified information in them, with the pretty much all of the major generals in the United States. And judging or going by the theory that the Bradley Manning prosecutors are going by, all of Bob Woodward's sources would be aiding the enemy as well. So it's a sweeping charge that could forever change how we look at the military through the press.
So I'm inferring that this is this charge is a new kind of prosecution that doesn't have a history of use previously in the American military.
Yes, that's correct. The only case that they're relying on for precedent was during the Civil War era in the 1860s, and it was somebody outright printing codes in a magazine, purposely attempting to tell the South about the North's positions or something like that. But you know, it was very intentional and very overt. And in this situation, we don't have that at all. You know, we have somebody who thought that their government was hiding wrongdoing and wanted the public to know, given that he felt that they were being misled.
Well, they've launched this aiding the enemy charge. How do you assess the evidence they have for a conviction on that charge?
Well, I guess it depends on how the judge decides to interpret it. I mean, he clearly did not aid the enemy. If you you have to knowingly do so, and because he clearly did not mean to do that. His intention was to get information to the public because the government keeps so much information secret when it doesn't necessarily have to. And we know that there's been no harm that has come from these disclosures. You know, the military at the time when they came out, was using all sorts of hyperbolic language, saying that WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning had blood on their hands. But what ended up happening was they could never actually point to a single person who was harmed by these disclosures. But what the disclosures have done is given the American people a window into their government they've basically never had. And, you know, there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of articles published with this information in them that gives us a really clear view of how the State Department works and how the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq progressed. And, you know, that's very important.
Could we say it's embarrassing but not harmful?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, that's what the government says in private when they're not on TV pronouncing that this is some great national security damage. There's been many reports saying that actually they're exaggerating this because of they want to bolster their legal case. They freely admit this to reporters off the record, but they don't want to say that during press conferences.
Now, on the issue of transcripts of the trial, this is a military trial, court-martial. Is it typical in court-martials that they withhold court documents and transcripts?
Yeah, unfortunately, in court-martials, the judge basically has full discretion on what he or she will release and what they won't release. You know, it's not like the regular federal civilian trial where there's transcripts available to the public at any time. You know, we get the government's briefs. When the judge makes an order, it's released to the public immediately. Here, none of that stuff happens. And unfortunately, even though there's been a lawsuit, the judge basically has full control and can arbitrarily decide when to release this and when not to. Unfortunately, you know, we think this is, a very important case as far as freedom of information goes, probably the biggest case in 40 years, and it's the biggest leak in U.S. history. The American public doesn't really know what's going on in this trial, and it's hard to do that when there aren't transcripts released for the media to reference. So we're raising money right now at pressfreedomfoundation.org, where you can go and give as much or as little as you want to support a Bradley Manning trial stenographer, which will sit in the media room and take a transcript, and then it will be posted online 12 to 24 hours later for everyone to use.
I want to get to that bit of what you're doing in 1 second, but the trial itself is open to witnesses, to public.
Correct. So the judge lets in about 20 members of the public. There's also a media room where members of the media can sit and listen and watch the trial. Unfortunately, a lot of the trial will still be closed. The government's going to bring 24 witnesses, which they're going to hold behind closed doors in a classified hearing so the public doesn't get to see what they say. And this is a real problem given that they've clearly exaggerated national security claims before, and it's probably what they'll be doing again inside court, is trying to explain exactly how these disclosures allegedly harm the U.S. when we really know that there hasn't really been any evidence released so far that these disclosures harmed the U.S. at all.
So we have the question of not full openness of the trial itself, and then no reliable transcript available to the public. So explain to me what the difference would be. What would be the difference for the American people if there were a full transcript as compared to no transcript at all that's reliable?
Well, right now we barely even know what the government is arguing, because they not only won't they release the transcripts, they won't release the government briefs where they put all their arguments. So it's hard for the public to have a good understanding about what the government is actually arguing, the sweeping scope of their argument, especially if not a lot of media organizations cover the trial. And so what these transcripts will do will allow anybody to go online to read exactly what the government is arguing, exactly what the rebuttals are, and the media who may not be there can accurately report on the case and give the American public a window into what the government is doing in their name.
So you've your organization is raising funds to hire two journalists, I understand, who would provide, when the public is able to attend the trial, an accurate and complete transcript of the case. Who are those journalists?
Well, they're court stenographers, actually. So they are trained as transcribers, and they normally go in with the permission of the judge and sit in the courtroom and take the official transcript. But here we're hiring them to sit in the media room and take the transcript along with other journalists. So we just finalized who the stenographers will be yesterday, and there's actually going to be four of them. And they will rotate in and out, hopefully, and we still have to get media passes for them, but hopefully it should work out.
Good. Well, good luck with that, and where will these be posted so that people can access them?
You should be able to access them on our website, which is pressfreedomfoundation.org, and you can also go there to donate to provide funds for the stenographer. We're still not quite at our goal yet. We have to raise about at least $50,000, probably more. We're at about $40,000 right now, so any help will go a long way.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck with this.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Trevor Timm. He's Executive Director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. I've been speaking with him about the efforts to fund a court stenographer, four court stenographers now, to create full transcripts of Bradley Manning's upcoming trial to the extent that they are open to public access and media access. For more information, to give support, and to read the transcripts as they are posted, go to pressfreedomfoundation.org.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.